We are continuing in our book of James. If you'd like to turn there or tap there, if you don't know where James is in the Bible, just kind of go to the back of your Bible, not all the way back, but we'll get there pretty soon. The series is called James Straight Talk, and we'll be reading from chapter 1 in just a moment as you're getting there. James tells it like it is. And remember that James is written to believers. So this isn't a book on how to be saved and how to know Jesus and have your sins forgiven. But it's a book that says, now that you're saved, great, here is what your life should look like. Here's what it looks like to follow Jesus on a daily basis. James, in this section where we'll stop today, ends his discussion about going through hard times, trials, difficult situations. And sometimes the hard trials that we go through, the hard times, they're caused by circumstances. You didn't ask for. You didn't cause. The job dried up. They laid you off from the job. The girlfriend broke up with you, and you didn't see that coming. There's all sorts of things that happen to us that are not our doing. But sometimes the trials we go through, the difficulties we go through, they're caused by ourselves and our own choices. Today's message is called Sin Brings Death, Jesus Brings Life. I'm going to look at 6 verses today. I'm going to go through them very quickly at first, and then we'll go back through each of them and look at them more closely. So you'll see where I'm going, see kind of the overall view. This is verses 13 through 18 in the NLT. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. Now verses 16 through 18. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in heaven. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word, and we, out of all creation, became his prized possession. Now that's the New Living Translation. So far, James has been talking about external things that happened to us in the previous verses. Then in verse 13, he switches over to internal things, things that we choose to do, trouble that we bring on ourselves. And sometimes the choices we make end up leading us into sin, even after we become believers. Now, of course, when you come to know Jesus, and I hope you know him, you didn't just come to church, but you have a relationship with Christ, you've confessed your sins, you've repented, you've accepted him as your Savior, confessed him as Lord. If you've done that, Jesus forgives your sins. You don't have to worry about your sins not being forgiven. But Jesus doesn't take away our choice. Once we become a believer, we still have our own free will. We can do what we want. And sometimes that leads us into places that we shouldn't go. So let's look at these verses more closely. Now I'm going to switch to the NIV. It's always good to read in 2 translations or 3 translations. You've heard me say that before. You'll hear me say that again. So let's look at verse 13. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Now, the first thing I want you to notice in this verse is the phrase, when tempted. The NLT said it this way. Every other English version, I flipped through them all, says when you're tempted, when it happens, when tempted. Not if you are tempted. When you are tempted. Now, maybe you have a temptation in your life that maybe it comes and goes. Maybe it's strong. Maybe it just is kind of around sometimes. But maybe you have a temptation that you would be horrified if anyone knew that that was in your mind, that that ever crossed your mind. Like, I'm a Christian. I want to follow Jesus. I'm committed to him. I've been following him for a long time. How can I think this terrible thing that comes into my mind from time to time? Well, first of all, I want you to know this. I promise that you are not the only believer that's had that go through their minds, even if you think it's vile and terrible and awful. And even if your temptation is not one I share with you, I have some temptations that you don't have. They may not be your temptations, but all of us, every person in this room has temptation. We have to be honest about that. Sometimes temptations can be extremely strong. I mean, they just pull on you. And I understand that. I do. Jesus understands, more importantly. He understands that you're tempted. He was tempted before. And that's why he puts this in James. He spoke it through James. He knows we're going to be tempted. And he says, when you're tempted, you need to pay attention to this. But one thing we need to be clear on before we go any further, God does not send temptation. The origin of temptation is never God. He cannot be tempted. It is not in his nature to have temptation in him or around him, so he's not going to send you temptation. So never think, oh, this temptation God has put in my way. Why has he done this? Is it to punish me or to see if I can overcome it? Your temptations are coming from your own sin nature. They're not coming from Jesus. They're coming from your sin nature. You were born with that. And yes, the devil is involved in temptation as well, but he capitalizes on your temptations, your weaknesses. I say often that I can sin plenty on my own without the devil even suggesting anything to me, because I have a sin nature just like you do. Here's how temptation works according to James. Verse 14, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. So here's the reality. Your sin nature is still a force in your life. Positionally, in the eyes of God, your sin nature is dead and it doesn't really have any true power over you. Your sins are forgiven. But in our experience in this life, you're not going to fully experience the freedom from temptation until you are in heaven with Jesus, when that temptation, that sin nature is broken for good. You and I have been born into a fallen world. We were born with a sin nature. There's sin all around us. I'm not telling you anything you don't know there. And the temptations that you have, temptation to sin, they will be with you for the rest of your life on this earth. Now, that's not to say that you overcome certain temptations, you overcome certain sins. Absolutely, we grow in Christ. But temptations will always be a part of this life. And that's not a pleasant thing to think about. You know, no matter how great of a person you are, or you think this person is very godly and nice and all of that, they still possess evil desires, things that are not from God. But something I need you to be very clear about, desires and temptations in of themselves are not sin. Now, thank God, Jesus is going to release us from that someday. It doesn't mean because you have an evil desire or a temptation, it doesn't mean that God sees you as evil or that you're an evil person, but that temptation will always be part of this life. Look at the verse again. You ever have an evil desire pop up inside? Ever happened to you? It's happened to me. Have you ever had an experience where maybe you're trying to pray and some vile thought comes into your mind? You didn't, it's not wanted. You didn't think about that. That's not about you. You're like, where did that come from? Maybe you're sitting in church and that happens sometimes. I shared that one time in another church, and a lady came up to me after the service and she's crying and she said, I thought I was the only one. I struggle probably in church with weird thoughts than any other place. I prayed with her, and I think she eventually got some relief from that, from the Holy Spirit. So these evil desires pop up inside, and we're enticed. Now, we haven't sinned yet. You could still choose not to go there. There's another step. Look at verse 15. We get to desire being conceived. Desire itself is desire, but desire being conceived, that's the last step you get to before you cross the line into sin. So desire is not sin, but you're close. Still time to turn back. And once it's to this point of evil desire and, you know, you're really thinking about it, it's kind of beyond temptation, it becomes very hard to put a stop to it. But you can. The Lord will help you if you're willing to call on him. But James says there is a point. Once desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. Desire being conceived, that phrase, that is the point where you start making plans. I'm going to tell them this. I'm going to make this decision. I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to do this thing with someone else, whatever it is. Now the line is crossed. You've sinned against God, and most certainly, because almost all sins affect other people, you've probably sinned against someone else. But please, please, please understand that the temptations that you have in your life, they are not sin. But unchecked temptation certainly can lead to sin. But there's many Christians, I've run into them, and maybe you're one of them, that have lived their lives feeling guilty because they have something in their mind. It's a temptation, it's a thought, it's unwanted, but it's there. And if that's you, if nothing else from this message today and these verses we're reading, I want you to go home free from that and separate temptation and sin. You are not sinning when you sense a temptation. But temptation is a warning sign, absolutely. That's time to go to God, to talk to him about it before it gets further down the line, before you get to the sin itself. And you don't go to God with a temptation to ask for forgiveness. You don't need to be forgiven for a temptation. You talk to God and ask him to help you stop there, to put a stop to it. Show me what I need to do, Lord. Do I need to change the situation? Do I need to talk to someone? Help me, Holy Spirit. This progress of temptation to sin that we see in verses 14 and 15, we have a sin nature, we have temptation, it's left unchecked, we get dragged away, we get enticed, then you don't stop, and then desires formed and plans are made. And then desire is conceived and it gives birth to sin. Look at the last part of the verse again. It's still on the screen, or you may have your Bible open. Sin gives birth to death, right? That's what it gives birth to. A couple of zebras get together. They like each other. They make a little zebra. A couple of giraffes get together. They make giraffes. A couple of turtles get together and they make little turtles. Giraffes don't get together and make zebras. It's not their nature. Sin can only produce one thing, and that's death. That's the only thing it can do. It produces death. It brings death. And if you don't know Jesus, sin will bring a permanent, eternal death. There is no hope of heaven without Jesus Christ. Sin brings death. But even after you know Jesus and you've been forgiven and you know that you don't have to worry about that eternal death anymore, the sin in your life can still and does bring other sorts of death in your life. Some of you have experienced the death of a relationship, a divorce, a broken engagement, a girlfriend, a boyfriend dumping you and you didn't know why. Maybe the death of a business or a job because of sin in your life or someone else's life. Maybe the death of a dream. There's all sorts of deaths besides eternal death, the most serious one. The practical application here is you need to know your temptations. You need to be honest about them before God, at least. You need to know your weaknesses. You can't pretend before God anyway. You can't pretend you don't have those temptations. God knows what they are. You need to find ways to stop them when they begin to drag you away, when they begin to entice you. You call on the Lord for help. You need to keep them in check before they get to the point of desire, like, I'm going to do this, make plans. This process that James described, how sin is conceived and birthed, and it gives birth to death, it's illustrated in a story that I know about firsthand. It didn't happen to me or anyone in my family, but for a short time in 2005, so we're talking 16 years ago, I worked as a financial advisor in Kansas City. I was still doing ministry as well. And a guy in my office started at the same time I did, so I got to know him. His name was Russell. And Russell was studying the same things I studied and so forth. Russell was, I think they were both around 40, give or take. And Russell was married to a woman named Brenda. And I met Brenda once, and very pleasant woman. I enjoyed talking to her. It was a very brief encounter. I think she stopped by the office for some reason. Very nice looking, pretty lady. And either that day or the day after, we went to lunch. Russell and I went to lunch. And I said, "Hey, Russell, your wife seems like a very nice lady. How long have you guys been married?" And as soon as I asked that question, his face fell and he became very sad and even emotional. And he told me why. He said that his wife had recently, over the last year, year and a half, had lost over 150 pounds. She'd been a heavy lady her whole life, even in her teen years, and she finally did the work, whatever she did, I don't know what it was, and got it off, 150 pounds. That's a lot of weight to lose. And when that happened, she started getting attention from men. She worked in a different place. She worked outside the home as well. So she began to get this attention that she never had received before, even when she was young. And some of the men giving her attention at her office were quite a bit younger than her, 15, 20 years younger. And that felt good. It felt good to her. And of course it would. I could understand that. Now, she hasn't sinned yet, little flirty flirt, little talk here and there, but she had a sin nature, just like you and I do. So it would have been fine. She feels flattered, moves on, goes home to her husband at night, and that's the end of it, right? But that attention woke something up in her that she had never experienced before. And she liked it. She liked it a lot. And she started encouraging the attention, a little flirty flirt back, right? With the guys at work. And then she started dressing for attention, you know what I mean? And she got the attention she wanted. And then she started accepting invitations to go out for drinks after work and started staying a little late out doing that. Now, at this point in the process that James describes, she's being dragged away, right? She's maybe hasn't sinned, maybe she has, I don't know. But she's being dragged away. And at some point in her, though, while she was being dragged away from where she should have been, a desire was conceived. And she started making plans and saying yes to things that were absolutely, blatantly sinful. And she acted on it, crossed over into sin with more than one guy. She started coming home very late, and Russell would say it'd be 2 o'clock in the morning, sometimes later. And he confronted her, of course, talked about it, kind of an ongoing thing. And in one of their discussions, she justified all of this by telling her husband, "I didn't get to do any of this when I was young. When I was fat, no man wanted me. And now they did. Now they do want me." And one of the most sad things that Russell told me is that he told her, "Well, I wanted you." She said that was different, wasn't the same to her. And she had no intention of stopping, even though Russell was willing to work on the marriage, and marriage was dead. Sin brought death. Marriage is dead. When I left and moved away to another town, they were legally separated, and Russell had filed for divorce, and sin brought death to a marriage. And don't ever say, don't be naive that you could never end up like Brenda. Now, maybe it's not the exact same thing, because you could. You don't know if you put yourself in the right situation or you find yourself in the right wrong situation. You don't know. There's a pastor friend of mine, I've known him for a long time, and he always likes to say, never underestimate your ability to sin. I love that. Never underestimate your ability to sin. Sin is a chain. It wraps around you. It'll drag you down to places you never thought you would go. And the last place sin takes you, always, is death. Death of some kind. And none of us is immune to the possibility. None of us. It's kind of discouraging. Kim Church got all discouraged today, didn't it? It's all discouraging. Now, we've got some good news, though. Let's look at some good news from Jesus. Don't forget the other part of the sermon title. Sin brings death, but Jesus brings life, all right? Let's look at verses 16 and 17 together. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Back in verse 13, James says that temptation and evil doesn't come from God. Don't think it comes from God. James is now reminding us what does come from God. And the answer is everything good and perfect. Everything good in your life. Everything perfect in your life. Anything good, from the very smallest little thing that you might be happy about to the grandiose big stuff that happens in life. If it's good, it's from God. It's a gift of mercy from Him. And God is light, this verse says. He's described that way many times in the Bible. Often we say Jesus is the light of the world, and that you can find that in the Bible as well. There's no shifting shadows when it comes to God. This week, Diana and I were looking at something in our house, and I told her, well, I saw it before, but I can't see it. Well, let me turn on the light. Then it appeared. And then I turn off the light, and it disappeared. Turn on the light, it's there again. It was very strange. And so these shadows and the light were playing tricks on our eyes. God is never like that. God never plays tricks on you. He never changes. You can always depend on God. Even when you're not faithful, He'll still be faithful. Your God is the same God that Abraham worshiped. Your God is the same one that Paul worshiped and ministered to people about. It's the same God that James wrote about. It's the same God that wrote through James. We worship the same God as the founding people of this church 154 years ago. There's a picture of eight people on the back wall back there if you want to see who started our church. 154 years. They were worshiping the same God, calling on the name of Jesus. And God has never changed, not one bit, and He never will. Remember that God is not a moving target, that you have to, well, figure out what does He want today, what does He want tomorrow, you got to hit it so He'll like you. Remember that He already likes you. In fact, He loves you as you are now. Even when you think you're not very lovable, God still loves you. Always will. And you know, that's a nice encouraging thing for the pastor to say, come to church. Makes you feel good for coming today. But that's not why I said it. I said it because it's true. I said it because the Word of God says it. Look at verse 18. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all He created. Now, I want to go back to the NLT, and that's what I read before, but I love how the NLT renders verse 18. He chose to give birth to us by giving us His true word, and we, out of all creation, became His prized possession. Now, I hope you hear that today. I mean, I hope you really hear that today, like, about you. It's not just some theology or a nice-sounding theory. Jesus says this about you. So if you know Jesus, this is directed toward you. He chose to give birth to you, Rick, by giving you His true word. And we out of all, and you out of all creation, Rick, became His prized possession. Miranda, He chose to give birth to you by giving you His true word. And you out of all creation, Miranda, you became His prized possession. And Bob, He chose to give birth to you by giving you His true word. And you out of all creation, Bob, you became His prized possession. Now, you don't want me to do everybody here. That'll take, you know, an hour or two, but you get the idea. Put your name in the blank. We've got to fill in the blank screen. You can put your name in that blank because you are God's prized possession. No matter what else might be going on in your life, you are His prized possession. I don't care what happened in your past. I don't care what I care about it, but it doesn't matter what you're going through now. You're God's prized possession. And God loves us enough to warn us through James that you will be tempted. It's going to happen. And if you leave that temptation unchecked, it will lead to sin and death. And then he goes on to remind you that you are God's prized possession. I personally believe that God is not so much worried about specifically the sins you commit. I'm not saying He's uncaring about that. Like all the do's and the don'ts, all the things we're not supposed to do as a believer and the things we're supposed to do. I believe that God is more concerned about the results of sin and the death that it brings to his children. I think that breaks his heart, knowing what sin does to his kids. God loves you, and he doesn't want to lose you. And I believe the thought of losing you was so horrible to the Father that he sacrificed his only son so that it was possible to get you back. Would you let that sink in this morning? And that's not direct scripture, but it's based on scripture. I believe the thought of losing you was so horrible to the Father that he sacrificed his own son, his one and only son, so that it would be possible to get you back. So sin, yeah, it's like a chain. You have a chain wrapped around you. You can't move, and it takes you places. And that chain will eventually drag you down to death. And without Jesus, I tell you again, if you don't know Jesus, it will lead to permanent death. But Jesus has broken those chains. That's what he does. And I look forward to fully experiencing that one day. Not even having a sin nature or temptations or any of that other stuff. That struggle will be over for all of us that know Jesus. You may have heard of her, but Johnny Erickson Tada is a well-known Christian author and speaker. She's been around for a long time. She's 71 years old now. It's still doing her thing. When she was a teenager, she was a very athletic young woman and participated in sports and things. And in a diving accident, she misjudged the shallowness or the depth of the water. And she had an accident and it paralyzed her from roughly the shoulders down. So she doesn't have any use of her legs. And she can kind of move her arms around a little bit. It's very limited use of her arms. And, you know, 54 years now, no healing. Her body has not been healed. A couple of years ago, Johnny said something in an interview that I heard, and it had me thinking for days when I think about her and her situation, how she's lived her life. And I'm going to play a short excerpt of that video for you right now. So pay attention to what she says. It goes by quick.
The joy of heaven is going to be many of things, but what the Bible sets before us is this joy we're going to have at being in his presence and seeing him face to face.
I can't wait.
You know, this what you're saying is resonating because, I mean, you look at me in this wheelchair paralyzed for 52 years, and most people would think, oh, you're looking forward to your new body. And yeah, okay, that's again one of those fringe benefits. Mm-hmm. But I'm looking forward to the new heart. A heart free of manipulating others with precisely timed phrases, a heart free of fudging the truth, a heart free of hogging the spotlight, believing my own press releases, you know, all that stuff, a heart free of not believing the best of others, a heart free of caving into fear or anxiety about the future. I mean, I just can't wait to have a heart free of sin. I will be holy as he is holy.
I'll put a link in the Thursday update to that entire interview. It's much longer than that if you'd like to watch the whole thing. Now, I know Johnny talked a little fast there, but I want you to get what she said. So I'm going to read it, or part of it again, the part I really want you to grab onto. I'll read it a little slower than she was all excited talking. So here's what she said. You look at me in this wheelchair, paralyzed for 52 years, and most people would think, oh, you're looking forward to your new body. And yeah, that's one of the fringe benefits. But I'm looking forward to the new heart. A heart free of manipulating others with precisely timed phrases. A heart free of fudging the truth. A heart free of hogging the spotlight, believing my own press releases. A heart free of not believing the best of others. A heart free of caving into fear or anxiety about the future. I can't wait to have a heart free of sin. I will be holy as he is holy. The worship team is going to sing a song for you in just a moment. There's no need to stand up. This is more like a special music. They're here to minister to you. You certainly can sing along if you want to, but they're wanting to minister to you this morning. Now, prayer team, if a couple of members of the prayer team would come up to the front, they will be available to you during this song and also after the service. You may need to come to Jesus for the first time. You may have some other reason. Nobody's going to know why you're being prayed over. But they're here to pray for you. I'll be up here to pray as well. Whatever chains you need broken, Jesus is the chain breaker.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, well, he's the chain breaker.
I don't know what God may be saying to you this morning, but I do hope he's speaking to you. I hope that he works in you this week as we think about these things. Two things to think about, two things to take home, talk to God about them, roll them around in your mind a little bit, and put them into practice, hopefully. The first thing that I want you to take home is that temptation is not sin, so stop condemning yourself for temptation, thoughts, things like that. God doesn't condemn you. Number two, know your weaknesses, know your temptations, keep them in check before they go further. God will help you if you ask him. So talk to God about all of that this week and be free, because you are free if you know Jesus. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said he came to give you life. Sin brings death. Jesus brings life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your presence, your promises. We thank you for these words of encouragement and warning. And God, I pray that we put these things into practice this week. I pray for all my friends that they have a week and they remember that you walk with them everywhere, no matter what happens. We give you thanks for today and every day in the name of Jesus. Amen.